podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm John Gibbons from the Anfield Wrap with a new series called Player Profiles. Myself and Josh Sexton will speak to former coaches, managers, supporters and teammates of the current squad to learn more about their journey to Anfield. We'll learn more about each player, how they developed and what gave them the desire to succeed. First up is the story of Andy Robertson, from Giffnock to glory. Andy Robertson was born on the 11th of March 1994 in Glasgow. His first taste of organised football came at Giffnock Soccer Centre, which is currently on the grounds of St Ninian's High School, where Andy also attended. We went up to Giffnock to speak to some of the coaches there, to find out if anything marked Andy out for greatness as a youngster.
Hi, I'm Craig Ingalls. I'm the chairman of Giffnock Soccer Centre at the moment.
Well, I'll tell you a wee bit longer. I'm Bernie, Bernie Early. I've been chairman, secretary, treasurer, coach since Andy started, because Andy started at the same time as my son started. So I've been coaching for 18 years maybe. So yeah, I've been here since the early days when we were quite a small club, but we're now a very big club with boys, girls, disability football, adults and preschool children, which isn't for me.
So, I mean, you mentioned there that Andy started the same time as your lad, so obviously you'll remember him coming. I believe he was seven, was he? Was it that young?
Yeah, but it's maybe even younger. So he was doing primary school, preschool now, but Andy's probably about six or seven, yep. Because that's about the age my son was.
And how much can you tell about a footballer at that age, Craig? Because I remember being that age and I was just chasing after the ball along with everyone else. Can you spot someone who's got a little bit more about them with that, or are you just trying to get them playing then?
Generally speaking, at a young age, you'll see boys and girls that have a natural football ability, and most of them tend to have older siblings. So they've had a ball, you know, introduced them at a very young age, and you can see they have movement skill with the ball without really being taught. And there are others that come to places like this to learn how to play football, so you can, there is a big gulf between some of the kids. It's places like this that allow them to develop at their own pace.
You spot natural ability. The children spot natural ability. You see that regardless of what age they are, they tend to give the ball to the better players, and you saw that when Andy was playing. So my son and I probably have different opinions on whether you could spot Andy was going to be a player, because Mark, my son, played in the school team with him, and he could see Andy was a good player.
Yeah.
But at 13, 14, he wasn't hugely better than a lot of the players. What differentiated him, though, was obviously his work rate from a particularly early age. I remember going down to see him. I coached him a few times, but I tried to make a regular occurrence down at his games. And I took my son's team as well, and in between games, they're 7, 8 year old, they carry on. They go and play tag and they'll go and play hide and seek. But I remember walking down to Andy's game, and in between games he'd get a ball and he'd go up to the changing rooms and he'd hit a ball off the ball with his left foot and his right foot and his left foot and his right foot until the game was ready to start, and then he'd come back and play a game again. And so for me, that's probably separated him from the many other talented players that we've seen and lots of clubs have seen. And that's probably typified by the reaction he had when he left Celtic. A lot of players have stopped playing football. I happened to be a few players there. Team, they played pro youth football, were released, and they never played football again at all. But Andy also took a different approach. He just had that different mentality, which, I say, you could see when he was kicking balls off walls when everyone else was playing hide and seek.
And you mentioned about spotting the natural ability in Andy early on, but I suppose you're as much saying that you spotted a natural, you know, personality in him. I think a lot of people look at him as being the engine of Liverpool's side now, the one who's constantly running up and down the wing and arriving late into the box and things like that. But it sounds like he sort of had that natural appetite for football from such a young age.
I think he did. That appetite and that determination. I don't remember Andy, when he was young, being outwardly assertive, but a couple of weeks ago on our Twitter account, somebody posted a picture of Andy at a tournament we'd attended in Campbelltown. I recognised the other boy in the picture, and I think, again, it was my son. And I remember Andy, and he was only 7 or 8, giving directions to my son, go there. I don't think Andy probably said it, but his body language says, go there. So even from an early age, he had that about him as well, which is one of the key elements of being a professional football player. It's not just being good at football. It's having that determination, that attitude and that assertiveness. particularly when Ronaldo's 6 yards from goal in the Champions League final.
So what does it do for a club like Givenock to have someone like Andy Robertson as alumni, if you like? He's someone who came here, who learned his trade, you helped push him along in a little way, and now he's, you know, European champion.
It's just an example for any young player that has aspirations to make it in the professional game, especially with Andy's, you know, storyline of having started here, obviously progressing on, having the rejection from a big club, boys set up, to say, no, I'm going to still keep going for my dream. And say, as we've mentioned before, obviously the hard work and the determination is a huge part of that. There's an element of luck in making it sometimes, just being seen by the right person or the right manager. Klopp obviously saw something in Andy when he was home, thought he's going to fit into the way I want my team to play. I mean, he did the same thing at Dortmund with his team. You know, he built a team around a style of play, and obviously some players fit in, some players don't. So you can just be lucky sometimes that you're the guy that your manager needs, and you can get that big move. And I think it's just it's a great tool for us to say there's somebody to aspire to, and it never hear any bad press about them. Everything's always positive, and to have achieved such success in such a short time at Liverpool, you know, European champions and now Scotland captain, you can't ask for more as a role model for a kid.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Bernie, you knew him well as a young boy. You know his sort of family and stuff like that. The guy you see on the screen now, the guy you see kind of being interviewed, is he still the Andy Robertson who you recognise? Maybe not quite from seven, but, you know, from growing up.
Well, it's Andy Robertson that I obviously showed how to tackle last week. It's a shirt box. Any of these crosses that go 40 yards over the bar, that's his father's fault. So he was up last summer. He was doing an event with Pro Academy, a bunch of coaches, professional coaches around our area, and I managed to speak to him for 15-20 minutes. And other than now being the same height as me, I don't think he's hugely changed since then. Just a nice boy.
And he's, you know, we talk in Liverpool about Trent Alexander-Arnold and how he's an inspiration for the young people in the city, that you can, you know, make it, you could, you know, follow your dream of playing for Liverpool, if you like. Presumably around here, all the kids grow up wanting to be Andy Robertson, though.
Yeah, both at the club and at the school, on the site that we're talking just now. All the positive stuff that he does is highlighted best we can in social media, Twitter accounts and Facebook, and I try and evangelise best I can with all the new children that come who maybe know Andy Robertson, who maybe know Givenock Soccer Centre at the club, but don't necessarily join the dots. So I evangelise, as I'm sure Craig does and many of the other coaches, because as Craig said, they need something to aspire to, and Andy was them 10-15 years ago, going to the same schools, playing the same parks, so it could be them. It wasn't me.
And you guys obviously running the soccer centre now, and you both know sort of different sides of Andy's family, with yourself knowing Andy's fiancée side of the family, and you knowing Andy's family side as well. How important is it to have that support network around these kids from a young age? I think particularly for a lad like Andy who was dropped by Celtic and almost like his football career might have been over at an early age as well.
Yeah, the family's vital. I know Andy's mum and dad. I was on the school PETA at St Joseph's Primary up the road with his mum Pauline for about 3 or 4 years. So I know what sort of family they are, and they are a very supportive family. And obviously that support was vital when Celtic made a ridiculous decision to get rid of him because he was too small. And he's not the first. I'm not sure, I don't think he'll be the last either. To have that support network from a lovely family is obviously one of the things that's gotten to where he is today, as well as that self-determination, that attitude.
But crucial also that you guys here at the Soccer Centre are providing that support network for these kids coming through as well, particularly, you know, the ones, as you say, who may have, you know, less natural ability, but you guys are making sure that they've got that opportunity to then push on.
Yeah, we give them a place to play at their level at that moment in time. That level might increase, it might decrease in comparison to their peers, but there's still a space for them. And I think that's the benefit that we have and being able to attract a lot of players is because we've got such a large number of teams that we can accommodate players just to fit in at the moment in time that suits them. And we've had quite a few players recently who have just played their first few games at the senior level, having come from this club as well. So I dare say even those guys who are now, 18 or 19, used Andy's story as their motivation, because it's so recent. And it's up to the kids themselves, it really is. As I said before, a bit of luck as well, being seen at the right time, having the right performance in the right game when a scout's watching or whatever. I think the key thing is play your best all the time, train the best all the time, and you might get the rewards. If you do it half-heartedly, the likelihood is you're not going to get there. So,
and I think that's why Liverpool supporters like Andy, because Andy has bad games like everyone else has bad games, but what he does is give 100% every single game, as these guys standing or sitting in the terrace and would want to do. And I think as a supporter, that's the minimum you expect from a player, and I know you always get that from guys like Andy.
Yeah, we did an award in the summer. I know you guys are aware of that. We did a survey amongst our listeners to say which player most embodies what a Liverpool player should be in terms of spirit and ability and everything else. And our listeners went for Andy Robertson, which isn't bad considering there's a Scouse lad in the team and obviously a lot of kind of big stars. But I think one of the reasons is, you know, all the things that you've just said, Bernie, but also there was a moment that went down very well in Liverpool when we played Barcelona, when Messi was on the floor and he just gave his head a little bit of a rub as he went past it. I don't know if you guys saw that, because that was something that people in Liverpool enjoy, that you might be lying on Messi, but you know, I don't care, you know, we're here to play football.
Yeah, a man after my own heart.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he obviously plays hard, but fairly at the same time. Holds no grudge, doesn't seem to hold any grudges toward any other player. Yeah, you want to beat your opponent, but you get the right sporting integrity and spirit in there as well, which I dare say is respected by other players. There's nothing worse than having somebody that's got a real chip on their shoulder that feels the world's against them, but he just seems to be calm and level headed on the pitch and takes whatever gets thrown at him and does his best. And I think that's what supporters love to see, is just somebody giving their best.
And we will finish up, because I think training's starting, so you guys are going to be busy. But just to finish, you know, I'm sure you're watching the Champions League final, you know, 3rd of June, when you see Andy win it. Kind of, what does that mean to you guys, as, you know, people from the club where we started?
Yeah, it's a fantastic thing to see. And whilst I didn't coach Andy for that long or that often, I can always take that wee bit of credit for Andy being where he is today. In fairness, there are lots more people who take lots more credit, Jurgen Klopp probably being one of them, in fairness, but I know at least I can say I and the club that he started with played a small part in that journey.
Andy made his professional debut for Glasgow club Queen's Park before signing for Scottish Premier side Dundee United at the age of 19. Aidan Connolly was a teammate of Andy's at Queen's Park and also signed for Dundee United on the very same day. He now plays for Falkirk in the Scottish First Division.
I know Andy well. His Queen's Park days used to do pre-season with him, running around the track. To be fair, he used to be miles in front of me, but I'd be behind him running. It was there. We used to do that, and a different level now, isn't it? It's brilliant.
So, I mean, we've been asking a few people about Queen's Park, and a lot of people have said, oh, good thing about Queen's Park is they'll give lads a go. And I think, you know, for that team now, there's a lot of years you have done well, haven't you? But obviously, that was the place where, you know, the 3 years all in together.
Yeah, it's scary how, obviously, it's part-time. And at that time, me and Andy were just like normal kids. We used to play against each other at school. And it's like I said to you, we used to always beat them. I don't know if you'll tell you that, but... and it was... You never expect to be... Like you say, European champion, you know what I mean? It's amazing, but he's got a good family around him and he's a good lad too, so I'm glad to see it.
And did you used to talk about ambition at that time? I mean, obviously we were young lads, so maybe you were talking about kind of other stuff, you know what I mean? But the fact that he'd obviously been released by Celtic, which I'm sure would have hurt him, he's gone then to Queen's Park. Did you ever talk about where you wanted to get to, or was it just a case of playing football at that time?
It's funny, because when we were at Queen's Park, there was two teams at 17, so it would have been an A team and a B team. And me and Andy were in the B team, so it was like as if the A team was what they seen as the better players, you know what I mean? And that season, I'll never forget it. Andy was unbelievable. That's when I was like, wow, who's this kid, man? You know what I mean? And then he just kicked on. As soon as he went to Dundee United, he was the next level. He was from then, obviously you don't expect to go Liverpool. You think when he went to Hull, you just think, like, hopefully he goes and kicks on. But it's what you see now. It's amazing. I'm so delighted for him because, like I say, his mum Paul and his dad Brian, they're good parents. You know what I mean? It's good to see.
We went down to Giffnock yesterday, and it was interesting speaking to the lads there, and they sort of talked about what Andy was like as a kid, and you feel like bits of that sort of resonate now. You just feel like he's just still that lad from Scotland who's you know, he's now a European champion.
Yeah, it's strange that I've seen it, because as a kid you always dream of winning the Champions League, you know what I mean? And I'd imagine if I met him now, he would still be the same person, down to earth, and I could imagine him if he was walking through now, he'd be laughing and joking and... Do you know what I mean? It's amazing. Yeah, I'm delighted for him, and that's the main thing.
He does seem to be a big personality in Liverpool's dressing room, certainly. Was that something that, you know, you remember from your time with him, that he liked to have a joke and a laugh and things like that?
I think that's if it with Andy, you'll see more than most of now, and he gives you 100% every time he plays, and I think that's why he's at that level. I can't put any words, because I've seen him go from someone who nobody knows to, do you know what I mean, Champions League winner. It's amazing.
Someone told us as well, you used to live together. I don't know whether that was at Queen's Park, because you went to Dundee United together as well, but was it the Queen's Park days where you used to share digs, was it?
No, it was at Dundee United.
Oh, was it?
It was Dundee United, so we used to stay in the same room, and it was good. It was a good laugh and that, and but there's one thing you probably won't know, obviously, that I've stayed with him. He used to talk in his sleep, eh?
Really?
He used to be saying stuff, he'd be like, red bib, and I'd be like, and I don't know if he still does that now, but when I was there, he used to talk in his sleep, and used to say random words, you know what I mean?
And you mentioned what he's like on the pitch in terms of, you know, that always sort of playing hard style. I think that's one of the other things that the Liverpool fans have sort of connected with him so well on, is that he just seems to relentlessly run. And there's one of the moments where he's playing against Manchester City at Anfield, and he just does this sort of about 100-yard sprint, and it ends up fouling in the end. But it's one of them things that, you know, when you see someone working that hard, was he just like that when he was a kid as well?
Yeah, well, at Queen's Park, it was you could always see he had ability, but like I said, he always worked hard every time. Every training session, he was always 100%. And then at United, he went to another level. That's when I first seen his crossing. His crossing was... He had improved that, and I said to him one time, your crossing's unbelievable, what's happened there? He's over a short space of time, and I don't know, it was just natural. It was like everything was just coming into place at that time. I think he got his first Scotland Cup call-up at that time. But you never expect it. At Hull, I would imagine Liverpool fans, when he was at Hull, they'd have been like, who's this? We're signing, why are we signing him? I could imagine, but he's went in there, and like Andy, like he always does, he always steps up to the players, you know what I mean? It's next level stuff.
Did you watch the final in Madrid?
I did. I watched both of them. The first one, we all the lads that had played with him, we all went to a boy's house, John Suter. I don't know if you'd know him, but we went to his house and watched it. Obviously, they get beat, but then the next year, I can't describe it into words. It's hard to see that happen, because you never expect it.
So when you're all together, that was the key. Everyone, obviously, all the boys used to play with them, and you're watching your mate. It must make you proud, like, you know, to know that, because you know the journey he's been on. You know how hard he's worked to get there.
It's scary, because obviously, like I said, you see just Andy Robertson at Liverpool. That's, I've just seen him from like school teams as well. He was a left wing at that time as well, eh? I don't know if that's why maybe he's more naturally always going forward, and because he's used to it.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason we're doing this story, because as you say, we see this guy who's playing for Liverpool, and he's superstar, and he's the finished package. But for anyone who's there, it's been a lot of work, hasn't it? And it's been, you know, as you say, putting everything into each training session, you know, and family, I'm sure, maybe you can sacrifice and stuff like that to get him where he is today.
Like I say, you need a good background. He's got a good family, he lives in a good area. We seen him when he wasn't a finished article, and he was just a young lad obviously wanting to chase his dreams, and he's done that, and everything he's getting today, he deserves.
There's obviously pressure on him when he plays for Scotland now, because he's like the European champion and stuff like that. Is there a lot on him in the Scotland journey, would you say?
I think it's hard for him. I think he probably tries too hard, because he's probably got that on his shoulder thinking that I'm at Liverpool. Every game I need to... He's a left back at the end of the day. He's probably thinking I need to score goals to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's hard, because obviously Scotland aren't as good as Liverpool, and it looks easy in the Liverpool team when he's playing. But when he goes to Scotland, it's maybe different. He maybe needs to defend more, and he's got to play in the Scotland team every week. Do you know what I mean? He's at Liverpool, and he's at a next level.
He's someone who's Liverpool fans see a lot of themselves in, and I mentioned to you before we started that we did an award in the summer, and it was called the Embodiment of Liverpool Award, and it was which player best sort of encapsulates what we think a Liverpool player should be. So that's all, you know, talent, but hard work and determination and a bit of humility as well. And Andy won, and we were a bit surprised really, because obviously we've got a Scouse lad playing right back, and but also you know throughout the team there's role models, there's, you know, international captains kind of everywhere, but Andy was the one people went for, and I think that says a lot about the kind of person he is really, and the way he plays is the way we'd like to think we'd play if we had a bit more talent.
Yeah, it's a strange thing, isn't it? Liverpool always seems to like Scottish lads. I don't know what it is. It's like I said to you, I think they just click, innit? It clicks straight away, and yeah, I think it's the way he is, because I always see him Twitter, the Liverpool stuff, and he's always comes across as like a really good lad, you know what I mean? I think that's probably why they really like it.
And do you still keep in touch with Andy now? I know you mentioned that you watched the final, obviously Andy winning that out of Madrid. Did you get to send him a message after of congratulations?
Yeah, I don't keep in touch with him as much now. He's moved on to another level, but I text him, and like, I think when his kid's born, or, do you know what I mean? It's big events, but his mum texts me every so often and sees how I am, so that shows you, because she doesn't need to do that, do you know what I mean? It's, he's at a level where she could just ignore me and something tell me to get to, but no, but it's, yeah, it's like I say, and I'll keep saying it to everyone, that I mean, he deserves everything he gets, and hopefully everything in the future.
Andy Robertson did a season at Dundee United where he was watched by Terrace supporter Roy Henderson.
Well, when we signed, the club was in a questionable position where I think everybody knew that the youth system was good, and there were some good players coming through, and there was some serious hype about some of them. So we had Stuart Armstrong, who's now at Southampton, and a guy called Ryan Gold, who was kind of making headlines across Europe at the time. He ended up going to Sporting Lisbon. So Robertson came in as a signing with the new manager, Jackie McNamara, who has spoken to you before, I think, personally, Josh, but he had experience of seeing him in the lower divisions, and kind of knew the raw talent that was there. I think another couple of players came in the same sort of punt. But we never saw him initially as someone who would make a big difference. I don't think anybody expects anything at Dundee United on a season-to-season basis. But we started to see this new manager bring through the kids from the youth system, and to bring in these young, I mean, really young kids with a couple of senior pros kind of out of nowhere. But what we found up here was kind of early season into November, December, we were leading lights in the league and up amongst Rangers and Celtic. But not only that, playing football, which was properly scintillating at the time and was really making ears prick up, giving people a proper snotting, you know. And Andy Robertson, you wouldn't have expected anything in amongst all the other players, because you kind of knew about them. You were talking about them with people in pubs and through the week at work. But then here comes this player who kind of emerges as the kind of leader of the group in a way. It was the two main bodies were him and Stuart Armstrong, really. Across the kind of length of the season, he emerged as kind of the leading light, which was testament to him, really, because it was a whole different level for him. He was just he was a waif of a kid wearing a long sleeve shirt with the hand in the wrist, you know. He just looked like a kid in the park. So for him to eventually kind of dawned on you a few games in, you thought, hold on, this guy's got a bit more about him, because he would take the reins a little bit, you know. Yeah, he was a very firm favourite that year, and it ended up with the Scottish Cup final. It didn't go too well in the end, but he was our best player on the day. He got his first Scotland cap, I think, at that time. And yeah, I mean, just a real shock. But Dundee United being Dundee United, we needed cash. I think the main offer came from Hull, although I think there were other bids at the time. And you saw him go to Hull and you thought, oh, for God's sake, that's a waste, you know. This is a kid who could be anything you want to be. Mm. And there he is, going off to play for Steve Bruce. that was the kind of early impressions. But yeah, that season he was absolutely phenomenal. And the brand of football the team played was not a million miles away from the kind of setup he's playing in now, albeit on a kind of kiddie scale, you know.
Yeah.
So it was probably the equivalent of playing in Liverpool's youth system in a way. But then, of course, he goes away and he plays for a completely different type of setup.
So how long did it take for you to sort of set up and take notes of Andy Robertson's performance then? Because I don't think he was expected to be in Jackie McNamara's first team plans at first, but then he does get dropped straight in, and within, you know, a month or 2 months, he's being voted as the Scottish Premier League's Young Player of the Month.
Yeah, well, it was kind of October, November, and So you're used to seeing these wastels instead dropped into the side, and sometimes they're like 5 foot nothing, and you know, get bounced off the ball with no kind of comeback. But quite quickly, you could see that he was tenacious, and while he was light, he could use his weight and he could use his frame. But the key, I mean, in amongst everything else, he could play, and he was quick, and it was all kind of one touch, so one touch, two touch football, broadly speaking. You didn't get much of a sense of him as a dribbler at that point, but he could play with his head up, and that was the first thing you started to notice. He had a vision that was kind of in line with the better players on the side, so Stuart Armstrong and Gold. Armstrong's an established international now. Gold was the brightest talent in Scotland at the time and was doing amazing things, and he seemed to be kind of at a level with them. That was it at first glance, but then what kind of came in the kind of months after that was you were playing against better sides. So I think through the November we were playing against more Scottish top six sides, and he was kind of emerging as a leader and doing craftier things on the side. The dark arts starting to show, and I don't know, that's the kind of player I fall for personally. If someone's got the ability, that's fine, but if they're an airhead, you know, you kind of lose interest. But this was a kid who would do what it took to win, and yeah, to the point where he would take it to an edge, and that's unusual, certainly, from what we were seeing at the time, because we were known as quite a soft touch of a side at the time. And yeah, he really did add something. And then of course the actual productivity started to come in at that level, so he was starting to see assists and on the odd occasion breaking through on goal, you know, angling runs into the box and actually being put in front of the keeper. And I can't remember when his first goals came, but he did score a few that season. But had he had a bit more composure, he would have probably scored quite a few, because he was making a lot of, he was disrupting a lot of defences at the time. You know, he's probably just come in and showed his ability from the off. But I think us old men in the stands who hadn't seen any decent football for a couple of decades kind of dawned on us that we were actually seeing something, and it was really happening. You know, it didn't last too long, but there was absolutely no doubt he deserved the plaudits he was getting.
And you've talked about him, you know, being a leader there, and I think there's, you can compare that to the situation he's in at Liverpool now, where he's become so important to everything that Liverpool do. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, Liverpool's fullbacks and how they operate, and it sounds like he was almost in a situation with that at Dundee, and perhaps it almost came about in a sort of lucky stroke that, you know, Dundee just happened to be the right setting for him, and he was allowed to thrive and then become one of those really important players.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, at our level, I think the system was secondary. McNamara wanted them to play the kind of football that we're playing in the youth setup, so it was fast counter-attacking football, and we did have the bulk of possession. We were trying to play, we were trying to move it quickly and have good movement off the ball, so he slotted into that no problem. But I think he wasn't balanced by a decent right back. He was very much a playmaker in his own right, and the four key playmakers were the centre half, the right midfield, and the false nine or number 10, I suppose, in Gold. Everything else kind of rotated around those, but then equally there were a couple of players who had a bit of dig, and in his case he was one of those too. So yeah, you're exactly right, and it's exactly it's like going up a level or two in a computer game. You know, he's beat the United boss, he's beat the Hull City boss, he gets to Liverpool, and he's taken a while, and I don't think he's quite grown into himself even yet. That's my own personal opinion, but gradually he's getting more confident and expressing himself, and the only worry is injury, really. You hope he stays injury free and stays fit. But yeah, it's exactly the same. It's like he goes up a level and realises that he's got the tools, and that maybe he just needs a bit more aggression and a bit more belief and a bit more physical strength, and it gets to the point where he's, you know, going toe-to-toe with Luis Suarez and having a go at Lionel Messi. Think, what the hell, this is this kid who I saw against all these diddy sides in Scotland.
You've talked about some of his sort of personality traits on the pitch, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, and you'll know as a Liverpool fan as well, that one of the things that we've warmed to as supporters is the sort of the personal side of Robertson. He just seems like a down-to-earth kid who, you know, had his tribulations being released by Celtic. He's almost just this kid from Glasgow, and I sort of feel like he epitomises that every day, and he sort of lives up to that personality, because he just seems so humble and down-to-earth. Was that the sense that you got, you know, even in his early days as well?
Well, to an extent, although there's no media coverage, so you'd you know, see the odd note in a programme or a write up in the paper, but you wouldn't really get any exposure to who the kid was as a person. And then when he gets called up for the international squad, then maybe you see a quick interview and you think, oh, he's a nice kid, he seems really intelligent, and you read that he, you know, was thinking about an accountancy degree. I can't remember if he started it or not. So you're thinking, oh well, this is a you know, an unusually intelligent kid who's doubled down on his football career, because there was all the stories about him being too small at Celtic and figuring out whether he wanted to keep going with the game, and his mum and dad kind of saying, well, give it a year, and if you've not done it by then, start off working in Tesco and then see where you go from there. So I think he's always had that, but you had limited sight of it. But honestly, I think it's part of it's a kind of paradox, really. He's this working class guy, and everything he's wanted to do with his football career that he might have done with Celtic, say, his dream's coming true at Liverpool, and he's got this working class context and this working class crowd who love everything about him, being this kind of sleeves rolled up, almost a second coming of character in a way, where he's never bowed and he works so hard. But what maybe suffers for that, and what you maybe see more in some games for Scotland even than you do for Liverpool, is the extent of the quality he has on the ball. So I sometimes think, yes, he has all these assists, but it tends to be kind of crossing, and it tends to be maybe tentative interplay around the box. But when he's in front of goal, I think he's scored maybe two, has he? For me, that goal in Europe was a kind of sign of the stuff we started to see at Dundee United. So he had the confidence to say, well, shit, yeah, I really am probably the best player on the park. I can piss off up to the 6-yard box if I want to and slot in front of the goalie. And early on, you saw quite a lot of that from him. You'd think, oh, he's just realised that he can have a go and goal here. So I think he scored a goal against England where he's done a 1-2 at rapid speed, got into the kind of apex of the 6-yard box and pinged it near post. And it was a real nice, cool finish. And then he's gone to Hull, and I think it was a League Cup game against Man City. Same thing, he's done a 1-2, he's dribbled past a couple of players and he's dinked it over the keeper like a kind of Dalglish style dink. And you see that and you think, oh, he's grown into himself. But then he's come to Liverpool, and every time he gets in front of goal, practically, it's like he's got a nosebleed. You know, sees the whites of the keeper's eyes, and he thinks, shit, I'm Liverpool's working class left back. I'm not supposed to be here. I think at one point it'll really dawn on him that, you know, he can be that player, and he'll really look a bit more like Trent, because I think that you see more of Trent's upside on that side. And he maybe doesn't quite have the same aggression and the same level of physical work rate, but you know, he purrs, he just oozes that quality, and he knows he has it. And you saw that, you know, there's moments that, you know, have happened this season alone, let alone the stuff against Barcelona last year and everything else. You can see that he's going to grow into a world-class machine. But Robertson, I don't think, quite believes that he's in the same league somehow. That's just my feeling on it. But then if it happens enough times, maybe he'll start to believe it. If you feel like if you could transplant some of Albie Moreno's self-belief and his own ability, you know, into Robertson's football and belief in himself, maybe you would have the perfect left back. But I don't think he's a million miles from waking up to that, because it seems like every level he goes to, he has a while where he thinks, hold on, did I deserve to be here? I better work hard. And then the crowd goes, we love you, you work so hard. And he has the moment, like the pressing moment against Man City, but steadily he starts to realise that he deserves to be there. And he's the Scotland captain now, you know, and we are shit, but, you know, that's something in itself. So, you know, maybe there's more to come from him.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be. But Roy, I remember, you know, back to when he first signed for Liverpool, and you wrote a piece for the Anfield Wrap, because I think at the time there was people who were tending to talk him down, as, you know, almost because he was this 8 million left back from Hull, nobody really expected much from him, and you were the one who was sort of stepping up as a you know, someone who's watched him come through the ranks at Dundee, someone who's watched him come from Queen's Park, his journey with Scotland as well, of course, and you were sort of saying, well, no, I can promise you he's going to be a big player. So for you in particular, there must there must be a sense of pride of the player he's become now. And I know you say there's loads more to achieve, obviously, but you look at, you know, a lad who was released by Celtic for being too small, who was in a dead exciting team at Queen's Park. But then even if you look at, you know, the most exciting of those players, that it's their sort of pinnacle is getting caps for Scotland now. This is Andy Robertson, who's a European champion. That must sort of fill you with pride, I suppose.
I almost can't believe it, to be honest, Josh. I mean, you see players from time to time who you think could do a thing or two in the game, and the best example of that was Gold. I mean, you saw Gold and you thought, shit, this guy could be, you know, a Philip Coutinho, but he just chose the wrong transfer, and it looked like the same thing had happened with Robertson. It looked like he'd gone to Hull and, you know, nobody was going to recognise the kind of player he was. He'd end up as a kind of bog standard left back, hiding his light under a bushel. But we've got a Liverpool scouting department to thank, I suppose, for having a bit more vision than that. And I think, you know, you see what Chilwell's turning out like. He's looking like not a bad player either. I think they kind of know their onions, these people, and the stats guys seem to be able to flush out a bit more depth. And it's that kind of transfer. I don't know, there's something more satisfying than about picking out a fish out of water who you know is going to do a bit better in your system than there is, you know, the obvious kind of high profile big money signing, I suppose. And there's been a few of those in the last few years. It's like Klopp can't put a foot wrong on that front. What do you need? You need pace, you need aggression, you need defensive ability, and then probably beyond that you just need a bit of a football brain to learn what Klopp needs of them. And Andy had that plus everything else. I think there are any number of players who probably could have fitted that bill, but the question is whether they would have responded the way he has. And the way he's responded, you just couldn't believe. I mean, you knew he would go on to do something, but there's no way you could have expected to be sat in the ground and hear the whole place chatting his name. You know, that brings a lump to my throat still. It's really testament to him and his character, really. I mean, his ability is one thing, but, you know, It's 100% down to who he is as a person. So yeah, it does make you feel proud. He's phenomenal. He's absolutely phenomenal.
Andy Robertson moved to Hull City in 2014 and made over 100 appearances for the club across three seasons. Les Motherby from the Amber Nectar podcast told us how he saw Robbo develop at the club. Andy Robertson was signed in 2014 for Hull when he was just 20, so quite a young man. What were your first impressions of him, Les? What do you remember sort of seeing of him first?
Well, he had a dreadful haircut when he first signed. Thankfully, he sorted that out. He lost the millennial mop-top look. But I think what really impressed was the application and effort he put in. And he quickly developed the belief of Steve Bruce. He was quite happy to throw him in as our first-choice left-back and just let him get on with it. I think Steve Bruce is a funny manager. I mean, he did a lot of good things for Hull City, so I'm loath to slag him off. But I think it's inescapable that he's the kind of manager who develops teams through checkbooks and spending rather than coaching and developing individuals.
Right.
So the way he developed Andy Robertson was just to throw him in the team and let him stay there. It was about giving him the minutes and let him do a sort of sink or swim thing rather than sort of working him with him individually. And, you know, there were occasions where he sort of faltered as a defender. That part of his game was suspect. But you could never fault his application and his commitment to learn and his commitment to better himself. And he always tended to make up for any defensive flaws with, you know, by getting forward and putting crosses in. He was an excellent player for Hull City. And it's a shame that, you know, he was part of the squad for two relegations, because you tend to think more highly of him than that, because you know, that sounds like you're damning him by association with two relegations. But he was an excellent player throughout, and you could never fault his application. Did I believe he'd go on to become arguably the best fullback in Europe within 2 years? No, I thought he might take a little bit more developing that, but as a Hull City fan, it's been quite rewarding to see his rise after leaving home.
He's very popular at Liverpool. He's got that bond with the crowd almost straight away. Was it similar at Hull?
Yeah, I think so. He's a very unassuming character, and you know, quite self-effacing. You know, I think having been released from a club and had his dreams shattered early on, I think he just had the attitude of a man who was delighted to be playing professional football for a living. you know, rather than working on a building site or, I don't know, folding clothes in Primark or something. I think his perspective has made him quite humble, and so that naturally endeared him to sort of our fans. He never showed any kind of arrogance. It was all about working hard, but also enjoying himself and just enjoying being a professional footballer.
You mentioned there the relegations. Obviously, the second one he leaves that summer. When a club goes down, the fans will normally point to one or two players and say, "Well, they will almost certainly go." Was Andy Robertson one of those for Hull fans? Was it a case of we probably won't be able to keep him for another year in the Championship?
Yeah, I don't think there's any Hull City fan that begrudged him the opportunity to progress, really. I think he'd absolutely given it all. He signed on the same day as Harry Maguire, and so we lost Harry Maguire fairly soon. Around the time that we lost Robinson. You know, the two players have come in and done an exceptional job for the club. And I don't think anybody expected them to stay. I mean, that first relegation in 2014-15, I don't know if you can say it was unlucky, but it was perhaps unexpected. We'd stayed up comfortably the previous season. We'd gotten to an FA Cup final. Really, we should have done better. We shouldn't have gone down that year. But the second time I went down, 16-17, it almost felt like a managed decline, like the club had deliberately been relegated. You right. know, we started the season with like six professional. Tom Huddleston put a picture on his Instagram showing like the entire squad in the Austrian mountains, and there's basically eight players on it. But that felt like an almost deliberate relegation. So given the state that the club was in and that it felt downwardly mobile, I don't think anybody at that point begrudged Robertson, becoming an established Premier League player for a club that could compete for trophies.
I wonder whether it sort of changes the way the whole maybe look at players now, or I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is, have you noticed you scout more in Scotland because that's been a successful place? Is it more likely to give sort of young players a go, or have you not sort of noticed too much in terms of, you know, from a recruitment point of view, how it might have affected you?
I think our recruitment was damaged when the relationship with Steve Bruce and the ownership soured irreparably. And I think any proper scouting network left with him. I think largely it was Stan Tennant, who was a Hull City manager in the late '80s, who was, you know, the key person responsible for finding Robertson and a lot of the players that we signed at that point. Yeah, things sort of fell apart for us, and I think that's entirely why people look at Robertson with fondness, and they're sort of pleased to see what he's gone on to do. I guess he was very fortunate in that when he joined Liverpool, his main competition was Alberto Moreno. Is it fair to say that Liverpool fans were quite eager to see somebody else given the fullback role?
I think that is fair. Yeah, that is certainly fair. So, I mean, just to sort of finish off, Les, I was just wondering if there's any, you know, particularly memories you have of his time there in terms of good performances. I know he scored a few goals for you, you know, in the Championship in that run to sort of get back to the Premier League. But is there any particularly sort of fond memories of games or performances that you have?
Yeah, I think one that really stands out, we played Derby County away in the first leg of the semi-finals of the playoffs. And we won that game 3-0, and Robertson was particularly excellent that day. There's also a fantastic image of him dancing with a fellow player, and Steve Bruce trying to do it. And Steve Bruce is in one of those classic Steve Bruce at weddings poses, doing a bit of dad dancing. So I think that feels like the archetypal Andy Robertson at a Hull City moment.
Andy Robertson signed for Liverpool for £8 million on the 21st of July 2017. Few expected much from the fullback, coming from a relegated club for a relatively small figure, especially after he struggled to get into the team at first. But through hard work, determination and a huge amount of talent, Andy Robbo has become a mainstay in the side, a European champion and, in our opinion, the best left back in the world.
Podcast Network.